The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw It On Your Questions, episode 558. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Not a flawless victory.
Chris Seeley.
What's up, everyone?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. A couple people missing. Brett has a migraine, can't join us, fortunately. Carlos is doing some work stuff, so if Amazon goes down again, blame it on him. Because last time he was off on Wednesday, on Sunday, look what happened. Listen, I don't have hard evidence. I'm just putting the pieces together. You know? Adam's probably at the TV terminal, and Rich is probably going to join us eventually. You know? So you got us four for now. So and we don't have a lot of questions tonight, so if you guys are in the chat right now, feel free to drop us questions. We're going to answer what we have here, and we're going to just elongate our answers more than usual to keep the things going. All right, starting us off here, Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. Kind of, by the way, this is the first episode in 10 episodes where the main topic is not Xbox.
What? Like
it's been dominating, you know, but this question is about Xbox, so it's kind of tying it all together here. The question is, with the whole Xbox is competing with TikTok remark in mind, do you think this could be a tell that Microsoft leadership, because I don't think Xbox leadership is running the show anymore, is going to try to start making games with AI? As in, similar to how AI garbage is flooding social media, will gaming be the next thing with AI garbage infects that AI infects? Well, we're already seeing that.
We're already seeing it. It's already all over. It's already all over Steam. There's a bunch of AI garbage games on.
It's already happening, man. But I don't think that remark is meant for that. Like, we're gonna start making AI stop. Like I said, like we said on a Thursday show. At least me and Manny think that remark is just like they're competing with TikTok for time. You know, that's how I took it. I know others have taken another way, and I think Brett and Carlos and Brian made a persuasive argument for why you could see it the other way, why it's dumb, you know, but yeah, they weren't saying anything about AI, but no, the AI stuff, it's already there, bro. And as a matter of fact, it's in the game we're going to be talking about in the next, for the next question, but it's already there, man. Unfortunately, AI, you can't escape this shit, you know, like I was complaining, and again, I'm going to elongate my, answers here, even if I go on divergence, because I gotta fill out the show. One of my favorite pastimes on YouTube is watching history videos, right? And I don't just stick to the same channels I always watch. I like watching just other stuff. Like I catch a headline, I want to watch it. But lately, I look at the fucking thumbnails. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, now initially, I didn't initially just like poo-poo this stuff because there's a lot of creators I watch, like what's his name? Top Hat Gaming. All his thumbnails are AI, but he's in the videos. So I didn't initially go like, okay, just because it's AI thumbnail, I'm gonna not look at it. So I would click on these videos and everything would be AI. Not just the images you see, but the voice, everything would be AI. But so now I'm like, okay, two things I'm doing now. If it has an AI thumbnail and it's younger than 3 years, I'm not bothering, because I originally said two, now I'm going for three. Three seems to be that cutoff point, but obviously what this means is next year it's an extent to four, you know, that to five, you know, because they weren't, you know, the history documentary stuff wasn't using the shit, you know. Go ahead, Manny, what are you gonna say?
Well, I mean, some of those guys who do the history documentaries also have gone back and swapped out all their thumbnails with AI thumbnails too. I noticed too.
No, that's not good.
And also, like the digital voice thing, that's been a thing for a while now.
Yeah, but now it's like where, you know,
where
it's, yeah,
where they train, where some of these guys train a thing to sound like them, and they just all they do is just text to type it, and it's like text to speech that sort of weirdly sounds like them.
Yeah, maybe I should just make my cutoff point 2020, just hard cutoff, you know. But it's upsetting. So yeah, no, this stuff's already infecting gaming. I mean, we've talked about this several times where, you know, they would be doing like advertising or whatever. I think it was Call of Duty or something. It was obviously AI slop. And now, you know, there's AI slop games. You know, I don't know how prevalent those are, so I can't speak to that, but it's already happening. Like assets in games are being used with AI. It's all over the place, man. It's very upsetting. You know, like people don't want to, you know, do the hard work anymore. But I also understand it's like when you got a fucking boss telling you got to hit this deadline, maybe you're just going to use AI, you know? Hey, we don't have enough money to do this shit the real way. Use AI. I'm not excusing it, but I mean, I get it, you know?
That's what they're doing. It's like they're replacing people with AI. But then what happens is then they end up, a lot of times they'll end up being like, oh shit, yeah, we probably did need somebody to do that, didn't we?
That's happened too. Yeah. That's happened in a few places. We're like, oh fuck, we got to get real people back. Maybe you shouldn't have let those real people go in the first place, you know? And I know, you know, this is a video game podcast, but my greatest hope is, okay, either one, the AI bubble is just going to pop, like the fucking internet bubble popped, and then we you know, we kind of get a little bit of a like stabilizing going on, or two, you know, that people will just outright reject this shit and we'll go back to AI. But we're gonna have to lose a lot of jobs before we get to that point, you know.
I think to be honest, I feel like it's looking like that way. Or in other words, they're finding out that there are a lot more cons to it than pros, like especially when it comes to like how much energy is being used to run these things and all kinds, you know, again, you know, there's things that you will still need, you need people to do. So it's like you either have, and then not to mention, you know, when it comes to intellectual property, intellectual properties are to protect actual people that made those things, not a fucking, you know, thing. And you're glad that the U.S. government made the decision to say, hey, no, listen, anything that's developed by AI is public domain. It's not, you can't copyright because it yeah. doesn't, you know, because of just the massive amount of, you know, the, you know, usage rights infringement they've all done. You think about it. Every single artist on this planet could literally sue OpenAI and all these other companies just for that.
Yeah. And I think they should, you know. Somebody posted like a screen, like not a screenshot, it was a video of like, you know, an obviously AI generated looking game. And they were like, oh man, the future of gaming looks incredible. And like, there was no like sense of physics to this thing. Like it was like a yeah. Call of Duty. You saw the clip, right? It's like the guy's yeah. running through like a subway, but then the train kind of just slots in directly. And then the scene changes. It was all fucked up. And
yeah,
go ahead, Chris.
I think that goes back to something Steve Jobs said when he was alive. He said there's plenty of people. I mean, he was talking about just normal people. He said who can't tell the difference between a good product and a bad product.
Yeah.
They like there's plenty of people who sit on Netflix and see a 3D animated movie and just go, oh, look at this Pixar movie. They have no idea that it could be a foreign film. It looks cheap, whatever. They just see animation, right? Like they can't tell the difference between an indie film and a Disney film. Or, you know, so yeah. there's people out there who see like these guys generate this like kind of fancy or cyberpunk stuff with AI. And you'll see like we'll see the stuff that's wrong or weird. It's like something's off about this, but they don't see it. Right. And that's a concern in the future. Right. Because like the slop won't be slop. It will actually probably sell.
Yeah. And that, you know, that was a perfect segue to the point I wanted to make about that. And I know Manny, you and I had a discussion about this. There are going to be people that go, I don't care how it was done. I just want it. And I want it mm-hmm. now. I don't care how it was made. You know,
that was one guy's post where he's like, I don't care about, you know, I don't care if artists created, you know, all I care about is content.
Yeah.
So, and that's, to be honest, that's the fuck up. That's the thing that the big companies want you to think.
Yeah.
They don't do. Want they you want. To. That's why they expunge all of our names off of every single things that we do. You know?
Yeah.
Like, do you know who the guy who drew the fucking coloring books? Do you know the guy who made the t-shirt?
No.
Because there's no signature on it.
There was another thing I saw. It was for a Netflix show. I believe it's got to be Netflix, right? And they showed this clip and they were like, yo, man, this scene goes so hard. And I'm like, you realize this is AI, right? Right. The person probably didn't. But the reason I saw that was because of the quote tweet. They were like, hey, I looked into the company that does this special effects for this and they use AI tools, but they don't state that in the credits. You have to go into their website, dig around. So basically, you could hire a company that you think may be on the level doing everything right, but then they're using some third-party AI shit in the background as part of their just normal workflow, you know? But Chris, that goes back to your point. I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is obviously AI. Like, how the hell are you falling for this? But most people can't tell. It's scary, actually.
I mean, it's being mandated. To be honest,
what happened, Chris?
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
It's being mandated in some places. EA just put out a statement to a lot of their developers that they have to start using AI tools, AI generation, content generation. They want it basically faster output, right? But some people's hands are tied because it's like, well, I want to work. So, yeah, now it's coming down from the top. And again, suits don't care. Manny knows that these people have no vision. So don't give a shit how it looks or whatever. They just want it now, right? That's a big problem. And they're the ones who are making the decision.
Yeah. Remember, the whole industry is run by a bunch of people who have absolutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just give me product now, you know?
No, I mean, it's also like, it's give me product now. And it's like, you know, doesn't matter what it takes.
Yeah. Or I should say the executives are deliver product now, and then the users are give me product now. So it's like everybody just wants to shit fast, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Brian, what are your thoughts on this, man?
On which part exactly?
The AI game, you know, AI being used for games and all that, or being used to make games.
Okay, first off the bat, I don't like it, because obviously it's just not great. I think that this is something that we will just have. Okay, firstly, I am not a fan of using AI in game. I wouldn't state that. But I can see. Okay, when people say "but," they usually are going to counter themselves. But I'm not going to. I'm literally just saying that I can see why people would be wanting to use it, and I don't like it. And I think this is just the new reality of things at this moment, where we just have to accept that it will be used to some degree. And I can understand why people would want to use it just to speed up the process and get things out faster. Again, I understand. I'm not saying that I agree. Personally, it's going to lead to a lot more slop games on Steam, which is somehow going to be a thing, because Steam already has a ton of slop games. They've had slop games. I mean, when Jim Sterling was still called Jim Sterling, he was doing like an episode a week on slop games on Steam. So Lord knows how many more we'll get now. Somehow it might go up by 10x even. So yeah, a lot more slop games on Steam. Hopefully they'll all just fade into non-existence. I'm more concerned as to how this will be used in like the AA and AAA side of things, as they get lots more exposure than, but I don't know, what's that, like Hitler Hentai 2 or something like that? I don't know, whatever that game's called. You know what I mean, Tony.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, so something like a Clay Obscura sequel will get a lot more eyes than whatever the third one of that is. And to the degree that these games will use it, that's what I'm more concerned about, because once they start to normalize it, that's when things get a bit weird and things just get really messy, because I can see executives in EA, some suits saying, oh yeah, we need more AI games, let's pump them out. And given how much they don't care as it is on the quality of games they make, I can see them just not giving a damn about the AI games in general. And just to add to the video that, Tony, you were talking about, I have seen that. I kept laughing at how it switched between third and first person because it is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I'm like, the main thing that was going through my head was, this is just like the Will Smith eating pasta thing.
Yes.
Like the first one that we've seen mm-hmm. was just, it was awful. And it clearly wasn't there yet. And I think this is the same case of, this is just the first version. There'll be a version 2, version 3, to the point where it'd be difficult to tell the difference between... Well, it was okay. It'll be difficult, but not impossible to tell the difference. I mean, I think I've only ever been fooled by one AI video I've seen on the internet, which to me is one too many, because usually I can just tell. But that's where we're at now, where it's getting more and more convincing. So I can imagine games will also get more and more convincing. And then we'll get more and more scams, like Abandoned. I'm still going to point that out every chance I get because where is it?
Yeah, maybe it'll be created by AI. But Brian, to your point, have you seen the updated version of Will Smith eating spaghetti? Pretty convincing.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it'll just get to points where maybe 2-3 years. Again, this is what Brett and I were saying, I think, like, you know, last year or the year prior. It's just going to take time. It's going to, like, after having enough time and processing power, then they'll get to a point where, yeah, that's how things will be made. Not saying all things will be made that way, hopefully not. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that will say no and refuse, thankfully. But yeah, it will get to a point where it is just very convincing.
Yeah. I want to read this from Barry Burton. If Rockstar announced that 25% of the work on GTA 6 was handled by AI in order to reduce crunch and get the game out by May, would it impact sales at all? No. No, nobody would care. They'd buy the game because it's fucking GTA. You know?
Yeah, it's because it's GTA. It's nothing like, as much as everybody does say that they're going, you know, they're, you know, for, I mean, or against AI, it really doesn't affect anything. And a lot of people see it anyways, as long as I'm getting what I'm getting, then this doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
It should be important that somebody actually made it. You know, it shouldn't be that people think that these things just come from a fucking void,
which is what they think. Yeah, it just arrives.
And this is before even AI was created. You know.
Yeah, like again, in all my attempts to try to explain to my family what I do for a living, because they still don't understand. It's like, you know, when you go to a website and those words, people have to write those words. Like, and this is before AI. You know, like, I write those words. But, you know.
In other words, it's like, oh, those things just exist. No, they don't just exist. But, you know, you have, you do have the for your work, you know, you do have your name on the actual article.
Yeah.
So you at least get that. But a lot of artists, they don't get,
They don't.
Or they get a lovely thing at the end, you know, like you watch things on TV and they speed up all the credits, right? You know, or, you know, stuff like that.
So yeah. It's like, no, but my point is like people just think this stuff just comes from a void. So that's why they don't care where it comes from, you know?
No, they don't care where it's come from. But I think I mentioned this last week. It's like, why are games stinking? When they're, because the original people didn't create it. It's just the same situation.
No, you're 100% right, yeah. Shout out to Rich, he joined us, so that's good because we got the next question, I definitely want his thoughts. Last thing I'm going to say about AI, again, we're just filling up stuff, you know, because you do have to be careful. And, you know, I'm not going to sit out here because I consider myself pretty good at catching this stuff. But even I caught a blind spot. And I want to give a shout out to Riku, right? Because he was like, hey, Tony, I noticed you follow this artist, this AI artist and stuff. I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, they're fucking AI. How did you figure out? And then Riku told me what they do is in their bio, they won't say AI artist. They'll say something else, right? And then I was very upset by that. I'm like, how the hell did they catch me off guard? Then I started looking at some of the other artists I found, and I found another one that was AI. And this was the catch, Manny. No backgrounds. It was just the figure. Because if there was a background, I would have caught that shit real quick. you know? So now you have not, but now thanks to that, I'm like, I'm able to catch it. Even if it's just a plain 2D drawing on a white back, I'm like, that's AI. You know, I could catch it. Like when you look at, if you just look at one piece by itself, you may not catch it. But if you look at a lot of them and you see how quote unquote perfect they are, then you know.
There's a certain type of like perfection to the yes. work. It's almost like looking at an artificial face. It's like Uncanny Valley artwork, right?
Yeah.
Where everything is perfectly centered. Everything usually uses the same color palettes.
Yes. You know, that's the other one I started noticing.
Yeah. It's like, they're very, once you see multiples of them, you notice the pattern within them. It's not so much, you know, again, it's gotten good at drawing hands. Now you could literally throw something at the Google thing and it'll fucking draw you out something pretty damn decent, even better than ChatGPT and all that other shit. So
yeah. So that's so basic. But the thing is, a regular person wouldn't go through all that. I'm going through that because I care, mm-hmm. you know, a regular mm-hmm. person wouldn't. But this is the important part with AI. I was looking for the perfections of everything. Whereas with a human, how can you tell it's a certain human's artwork? Because you see their imperfections. If there's no imperfections, then you kind of know something's up, you know?
There's a certain type of imperfections yes. between AI and a person. Mm-hmm. A person not knowing what something looks like, that not necessarily doesn't mean that they're AI. It just means, okay, this person doesn't know how to draw that correctly.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, so that it's certain things you got to be on the lookout for.
Because an AI, as funny as it is, an AI drawing can't actually copy a bad, in other words, like, let's say, you know, the way they draw, the way AI draws hands, it's all weird. Like it looks like it's all gooey and merged together. Right. But the way a person would draw it was an attempt to try to draw a hand. It's just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. But no, you're right. When you have a character's face looking exactly the same from different angles, you know something's up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like no, something's wrong here.
I mean, try as you might, you know, like, even the best
of the best artists yeah.
They can't stay perfectly consistent between drawing to drawing to drawing. That's part of what, you know, what animation sort of teaches. You draw it over and over. You try to keep it as close as possible to the last thing. But there's things that happen even between artists themselves. They draw things slightly different.
Yeah. All right, man, that was good. Let's move on here. Question from one of our longtime fans, Mr. Romudeth. Been with us for a very long time, you know. Very pertinent question. And, Rich, I'm glad you're here for this because we definitely got to do a follow-up on Mortal Kombat. That's what this question is about. The Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection has been getting cooked for having a bare-bones online mode that's hard to connect to. Some are also complaining about input lag and other glitches. How did the developers botch what should have been an easy win? All right, so on Thursday, Rich and I gave you our review of the game, and we gave it a good review. So did a lot of other reviewers, right? And we, at the time, we specifically said we weren't able to play online because it wasn't available to us in the review stage. And we also both pointed out, it's like, hey, this game feels kind of stiff, you know? Okay, we just kind of dismissed it. Like, that's usual. Because Mortal Kombat is a stiff playing game in comparison, you know, to, you know, Street Fighter and stuff. And we also said we hadn't played the original games in over 30 years for me, you know. And then the floodgates opened. The game came out to the public and it's all fucked up. That lagginess we're talking about. Yeah, it actually is. It's been confirmed there's input lag in the games, like 6 frames or something like that, which is pretty bad. Online, it only has one mode at the moment. It's quick play, and even if you log into it, either you'll have to wait 30 minutes, or when you get into it, there's like severe sound issues, like the sound drops off, or there's even cases where, for example, you load up Mortal Kombat 2, right? You want to play a Mortal Kombat 2 match, and you'll get thrown to Ultimate Mortal Kombat instead, because they'll just match you with whoever, you know? Lots of fucked up stuff going on there, in that sense. And then, you know, tying it back to the previous segment, you know, we found out that the art book that this game comes with, or the special edition, AI upscaling, and it looks fucked up. You know, and it's the bad kind of AI where, like, you can see how, like, the eyes look like, I call it runny eggs, you know? That's mm-hmm. what the eyes look all fucked up, you know? And, like, apparently, this hasn't been confirmed yet, but the title screen of the game where you see the main characters, like, statues and some of the other stages in the games, that's apparently AI generated as well, right? So, you know, FGC's been absolutely scorching this game to high hell. And now Digital Eclipse is out there saying that, you know, they're going to issue, they've already apparently started issuing some patches and they're going to be issuing some more. And that's also, and this part has not been confirmed yet, but that leads me to believe that they had to rush this game out. And I'm pretty sure Digital Eclipse knew some of these things that were wrong because they've released fighting game collection, like Street Fighter specifically, fucking 10 years ago that had a full robust online mode. So you're telling me they couldn't get it ready this time around? I'm pretty sure that it was the higher ups like, you got to get this game out now, you know? So very insane stuff. But I did want to point that out because, you know, there have also been accusations at, like, you know, reviewers and content creators saying that that they were hiding stuff, that they're shills. And I want to make it very clear, Rich and I did not catch any of this stuff because we didn't have access to the online mode and the input lag. We just chalked it up to it's just the way Mortal Kombat plays. Turns out, no, they just fucked up, you know, and it's not good. So, Rich, what are your thoughts on this? I'm pretty sure you've seen all the backlash this collection's been getting ever since it came out.
Well, first and foremost, can you hear me? Because we've yes. got some internet connection issues. I just want to make sure you can hear me clear.
Yeah, we hear you fine. I guess you're having the same issues that Mortal Kombat players are having trying to connect online.
Well, I will say this. I'm sure that the Mortal Kombat fans, their reaction when they saw all this stuff, they were thinking with Digital Foundry and Atari, finish them. Finish them. Because, I mean, yeah, I've seen a lot of people complaining. And, yeah, like you said, we didn't really get a chance to try the online, you know, pre-release. So we didn't know any of this stuff was going to be an issue. But I think it's very interesting what was discovered about the AI stuff. I will say this. I believe your theory on this being rushed out is 1,000% accurate. Because I recall when they were starting to reveal the games that were going to be a part of this collection. And I believe you went to one of the events where they announced one of the games that were going to be a part of this collection. I thought they had an elaborate plan to roll this out where they were going to announce stuff at all the different cons. And they didn't do that. So that's why I said, that might be cause for concern. But also, we have to remember, your boys at Warner Brothers are struggling. All right. So they need something to hit. I know they were heavily advertising that Scream, Mortal Kombat, you know, they put a video out when Scream, the new Scream movie came out. At the same time, because they were trying to get people to jump back into Mortal Kombat, and they announced that there was a sale on, I believe it was Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So,
yeah, it was Mortal Kombat 1, yes, yeah. Yes.
So I think, yes, they definitely wanted to rush this out. Because there is no, I mean, I have to go back and take a look at the list, but WB has no game out this fall, and they need something to report in the Q4 earnings because, you know, they need something to report so that they can, going into 2026, they have positive things to talk about. So I think it was rushed out. What's it what?
I was going to say, yeah. Also, aren't they looking, there's a rumor about them wanting to do a sale on it, too.
On what?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. I think
Warner Brothers in general.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of that, yeah, I think all of that needs to be taken into consideration. But I will say this.
Uh-oh, I think Rich cut out. Or am I bugging?
Uh-oh, Warner Brothers got him.
Oh, Rich, can you repeat the last 30 seconds you cut out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's what I said, man. This internet is wild. I think it's interesting that that they did cover themselves by saying, well, we do intend to continue to make updates to this game, because that was something I didn't know when, you know, I didn't know about that until we got the review code. And then it had said they're going to continue to make updates to the game. So I said, OK, so they probably were prepared. There were going to be some backlash, and they know we're going to have to continue to support this game post launch. But yes, they definitely rushed out some stuff with all these issues now with the online. And it all makes sense because I tried to access that online early, could not get a match. So I said, okay. But it makes sense now why all this stuff is coming out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will admit, I should have looked at the online, at least the modes a little bit closer. But again, you know, just being up front, I'm not really an online guy, so I wasn't even focusing on that. But these FGC guys, they noticed that stuff. Like, there's no online lobbies for this game. Like, if, like, for example, Rich, if I want to play a game with you, I can't. It's impossible, you know, unless we randomly find each other online. That's fucked up, you know? So it's you know, it's interesting because you're right. Like, Warner Brothers, you know, needs a hit. But I'm like, if you wanted a hit, you shouldn't have released a compilation of one of your biggest franchises in this sorry state, you know? And they don't even have the excuse of, like, oh, we need to get this out for the movie. The movie's not out till May. They should have waited till May, I mean, in my opinion, you know?
Also, it's not being published by Brothers.
No, it's not.
It's Atari.
Yeah. So. But I'm pretty sure, you know, Warner Brothers got to be getting some kind of money off of this. You know, but you're right about that. I don't know, man. It's a very upsetting situation, especially since we've gotten so many great fighting game collections. I mean, just this year alone, we had the fucking Capcom Fighting Collection 2, which has, again, raised the bar once again. But the one thing, you know, that we said about this that, you know, will still stay, is, you know, remain true, it's that documentary for this, second to none, man. Like, that shit is deep. You know, although, Bani, I know you have a personal complaint because it is online now. You knew it had to happen.
Yeah, somebody posted it, but, like, they don't have any interviews with the original actors from the first Mortal Kombat game. Like,
which is crazy. Like,
Pack and all those guys, it's the original Sonya, all those people, they're still around. They're still doing conventions. So it's not like there's any split where, like, oh, hey, they couldn't get them. You could have probably figured it out, like... So why is it that those guys are omitted from it and they only interview two people? They interviewed the second Sonya and the guy who plays Nightwolf.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, because they had to get Jeff Gerstmann in there instead. That's why.
Yeah, they had to get Jeff Gerstmann in there. I'm like, I mean, okay, Jeff Gerstmann, great. But to be honest, I would much rather have people who are actually worked on the game talking about how, you know, the process of making the game or doing the, you know, doing the motion. As opposed to just Jeff Gerstmann saying, yeah, I like Mortal Kombat 4 better than anything. I'm like, I get it. You know, somebody gives a shit who Jeff Gerstmann is, but Jeff Gerstmann didn't make a fucking game. Now, David Jaffe and fucking, what's his face, Cliff Bleszinski, them saying some shit, that actually means something because they're actual game developers.
Yeah, although in their cases, it's a bunch of has-beens, but, you know, just throwing that out there. They've at least made games. Yeah,
they made games at the... They also did sort of the transition, like Ed Boon,
yeah,
where he went from just a four to five-person team to, like, having a 100-person team to make their game. Eventually, those guys did it, too. So I'm like, I respect their opinions about the game because they've been through the trenches of time making games through these different eras. Gerstmann's just like some guy who just played it. All right, great.
Yeah, there's some other people too, but we don't talk about that here. But yeah, very disappointing. And again, because I do remember them saying they're going to have updates, but I assumed it was going to be just like there are other games that those updates would be more games. You know, because there are still some games that are missing from this that people want. People want Mortal Kombat Gold. That's missing. So, you know, I had no reason to believe that the next update would just be another game because they've done it before. Nope. Next update is going to be because they fucked up. They released really early run update. And it's for simple things like making going back to the main menu faster. Why was that slow to begin with? It's crazy. And you also need to fix that difficulty, man. Because no matter what difficulty you put it on, it doesn't change the difficulty. It's all the same. So you fucked up there, too. You know? No one's complaining about that because I'm pretty sure, like, oh, fuck it, I beat this game when it's hard. You know? Anyway, let's move on here to the last two questions of the night from Mr. George W. Cush. Fantastic name. Now, these questions are both more, I guess, more evergreenish type of question. All right, first up, my question is more of a positive in tone this week. Yeah, positivity is good. In all the sea of negativity and mediocrity in gaming, what aspect of this industry gives you hope for the future? For me, it's actually the fact that some companies are underperforming and the fact that smaller games, because of that, have to make do. When I saw Expedition 33 trailer, I dismissed it because I told myself it was just an indie game. But now, after having played it, I have been proven wrong. For me, it surpasses every RPG since Final Fantasy X. That's high praise. So, yeah, so for him, it's like the fact that AAAs are going down, other guys have to step up, and that gives him hope. But I'll go around the room. What gives you hope for the industry? Manny, we'll start with you first.
I guess Expedition is something that's a hope for industry, where people are actually making fucking new games instead of making a goddamn deluge of sequels or remakes. Because I sort of miss. Oh, the ghost got him. So I mean, I guess that's it. In other words, we're starting to see, you know, studios are actually making their own new IPs as opposed to the big guys that are literally reserving you old meals. So I don't know. I guess it's a sort of a hope. But I would like to see more examples of it. You know, granted, you know, the indie space, there is a lot of, I've always said this, the indie space has always been the space that sort of, that the main game industry takes a lot of inspiration from, because it's, you know, obviously they can't take the chance, but, little indie studio could be like, hey, yeah, we created this thing. Oh, yeah, let's do that too. That works. So I don't know. I don't think there's anything. Right now that says it to me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's still too early for a tide change, but I just see the same stuff. I just see the same role of like, hey, look, we're getting a remake, we're getting a remaster, re-release, Mortal Kombat Collection. Hey, great. They can't get their regular games together, so they have to release a legacy game that doesn't fucking work.
Oh, man. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, your answer made me feel better about mine.
mine is not nearly as bleak as yours is.
Yes. Do you remember that segment? And you're the one that told me about it, too. That Gilbert Gottfried on Howard Stern. He was pretending to be the Pope. Remember what he said?
Yeah.
There is no hope.
There is no hope.
I am the Pope. There is no hope.
Despised. Gilbert Gottfried's impression of the Pope, of Pope John Paul II, was Lee Bella.
It's hilarious.
That's all he was just doing. He's like, I am the Pope.
There is no hope. Yeah, I don't have any hope for this industry. I really don't. I don't see anything that gives me any hope. Because the question is specifically, gives me hope for the future, right? And the sad part is, the only thing I like about the current industry is that I'm getting old shit. Isn't that fucked up? That gives me a lot of hope. The only games that I've had the most enjoyment have been from collections of old shit, you know, because the new stuff is just so bad. You know, again, I'm not trying to be like dour and pessimistic. I just don't fucking see any hope. There is no hope, you know. I don't know, man. I wish I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because even, here's the thing, even with shit like Expedition 33, yes, that's great. That game took 5 fucking years, just like every other AAA game, you know. So even that's tainted by everything that's going on. Maybe hopefully the next game, since they already have the engine and tools ready, come out faster. But it's like, you know, games toss them $50 billion to make. It take 10 years to come out. Then when they do come out, they're disappointing, you know, and you get the sequels. Those are like way worse than the original. And then you see all, you know, people getting fired left and right. Everybody's losing their fucking job. You get an AI in fucking games now. Please tell me what's hopeful about this industry right now. You know,
I think in general, games take 4 to 5 years. You know, it's just the way things are.
Disappointing, so, man.
I mean, you know, again, you know, if you want to look how big that game is, it's a pretty damn significant long, significant game. So it seems like their 5 years got used pretty damn well.
Yeah, no, it did. Again, but even that is like, because I mean, oh, this is the new standard. I'm like, do you really? That's not the standard. It's normal. 5 fucking years.
I mean, not to take anything away from Expedition 33 is, but they're literally making a JRPG.
Yeah.
So is that's the future? Just literally dusting off an old genre of game?
Keep it real, man. Keep it real. You're right. You're 100% right. Dust off.
Again, nothing wrong. Yeah. Again, nothing wrong with that. You know, I definitely believe that there should be more turn-based RPGs that exist in the world because, you know, we had the industry had this false idea that somehow, you know, people would never play a turn-based RPG. But then again, there's Persona games, so I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's move on down the line. Brian, you have any hope for this industry?
Yes, it's mostly, as with many, it's based in the indie sphere, as that seems to be the only space where, I guess, genres exist. Because what I've noticed is that the AAA space is mostly this, like the same two or three genres, and if you really want anything else, you have to go indie. I mean, there was a time and space where someone decided that horror games don't sell anymore. And apparently people just laughed at that because the indie horror games were popping off. And then suddenly Alien Isolation hit big. And then people were like, oh yeah, people buy horror games. And I was like, they've been horror games for years, just that you haven't noticed them because they've been indie games. So, yeah. The indie sphere is just where any type of genre lives, because AAA games, well, AAA space doesn't seem to care about these quote-unquote niche genres.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I do have hope. It's just going to take time and a major course correction, because the AAA scene is already feeling it. Like, EA had to go private, basically bought by the Saudis. Ubisoft needed to lean on Tencent, and Tencent is going to completely uproot and revise that thing. Just watch. We'll be talking about it in probably next year. That new studio they formed, that's going to be basically what's left of Ubisoft, and they're just going to take the moneymakers and ditch the rest of it. And the hope is, like, the indie scene has come a long way, so that's good. Also, the Asian studios are taking everybody's lunch. You got Stellar Blade, you got Wulong, you got, and Capcom has had a resurgence. So there's pressure on the industry. And I think what should happen is more of Western studios should be private, should go private. They shouldn't have shareholders and board members dictating their direction. It should be consumers dictating your direction. And that's where things have gone very, very wrong in the last probably decade or more for AAA Western games. That needs to change. So as indies kind of coalesce, hopefully there won't be a AAA industry. It will be more indies coalescing into maybe larger studios, and then not too big, though. Not like, you know, Embracer or EA or Activision as they were. And then just staying private, and the only thing you're beholden to is gamers and consumers, right? Who is purchasing your product? Is it selling well? Then we're on the right track. That's my hope. That course correction, though, is huge. It's going to take years, but it's happening.
That's good. By the way, shout out to OG Midway in the chat. Legacy Collection is AIDS.
Oh, damn. That's how you really feel.
Yeah, right? I respect it, man. Damn. Rich, what about you? Is there anything that gives you hope for the future in this industry?
Yes, hopefully my internet will be working for now.
That's your hope.
Well, before I give my answer, let me just say this, though. I must come back to you, Mr. Polanco. I'm surprised you didn't have anything positive to say about having hope for the fighting games, because there's a lot of fighting games that got you back into it's wrestling and gaming, so...
Yeah.
I was surprised that wasn't your answer.
I was thinking about that, but that's not really the whole industry. That's just one little aspect of it. But no, fighting games are really good right now. We're going to get a lot of them, a lot of good ones next year. But that, you know, I don't consider that. That's like you get a whole plate and it's like mostly shit, but there's like one little piece of candy on it that you like. It's like, yeah, the rest of this plate is ass, though, you know? Yeah. But the candy tastes good. by the way, I say that. What the fuck was it? I ordered, because Friday, you know, was like, by the way, I'm off for a week, people, you know? So, but Friday, I had to work a lot. And what I usually do is, like, there's this one, like, bagel place around here I order stuff from. Like you know, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, but I get a hero. Because that's, if I eat that in the morning, it's going to last me all day. Because I'm like, I can't take a break to eat all day. There was a fucking, a little Hershey's thing in there. For randomly. I'm like, oh, Halloween, you know? I'll take that.
Yeah, you got your little Halloween candy.
Yeah, it was good, you know? But the sandwich is also good, too, you know? But yeah, Rich, yeah, no, again, I am happy about fighting games right now. But that's not the whole industry. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's great. Like you got, it's like, you know, fucking, hey, that band is awesome, man. They fucking kick ass. Oh yeah. You're hearing them on the Titanic, you know?
Anyway, okay. Yeah. That's
a very good
explanation.
Yeah. But yeah, so, go ahead, man.
My answer is very similar to what Manny, Chris, and Brian said. I think that the indie scene is what interests me about this industry is that every year people look at the major players, the major games coming out, and they have these high expectations for certain games that they think are going to be, you know, the bomb. Like, for example, everyone is looking at Grand Theft Auto 6. They're like, this game is probably going to be phenomenal, but there might be some stuff in that game that might not be positive with everybody. And meanwhile, there could be another game that comes out next year that nobody is talking about that actually blows that out the water and has more attention. So I think that type of stuff keeps me interested in the industry in terms of seeing what else comes out. And yes, there's some games that come out. They could be variations of stuff that we've already seen. They don't reinvent the wheel. But if it's a good game there, then that's what I consider to be successful. So for that reason, I will always be interested in the industry. But no doubt about it, it has been a horrible generation. All the layoffs, the company closures, all this stuff is terrible. No doubt about it. But the games themselves, this year has been a pretty good year for games. So I am curious to see what happens next year. As far as, because 2026 is also supposed to be a very active year for games. So we have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And the last question of the night, also for Mr. George W. Cush. I know some of you are a Song of Ice and Fire fans or former fans, since George seems to have abandoned this incredible universe. Yeah, you could say former. He's done. That shit is done, bro. So he goes, I find it crazy that WB has done nothing with serious with the Game of Thrones franchise. So what kind of game would you want it to be if they do release one? And which studio would you want to develop it? I think a Sekiro-like game from Software where characters die quickly would be incredible in this universe. It could be set in Ashai or Valyria, and a character could be revived by a red priest. That's pretty innovative. Here's the thing. Even though I am sick of giant open world games, I think a big open world Game of Thrones game in that world would be pretty fucking cool. Like I would love to just go around all those lands and like visit, like, you know, proper recreations of it, not only just Westeros but also Essos. They probably could do Essos, it'd just be too much, but like just Westeros alone would be crazy. Like, you know, like I want to start down, you know, at the bottom of the south and just go all the way up to the north by the wall and shit. That would be pretty cool. But they're not going to do that. I don't think Warner Brothers, like, I think if you're going to get anything ambitious from them, it'll be after somebody buys them. They're not going to be doing any big games for a while, you know, unless they already had it in the bag. Like, I know the Lego Batman game, that's probably going to do numbers for them. But yeah, I think that would be cool. An open world Westeros game. Yes, I am being very specific, Westworld, because you doing Essos on top of that would just be way too much. Although that's what the sequel's for, you know, but they're not going to do it. But it would have to be set during, you know, or you could set it even before the events of it. Because again, these novels are never going to get fucking made. You know, this guy's not done. He's not going to finish it. He claims he's going to finish them, but we've been hearing that same fucking sad story for 14 years now. You know,
I don't. He had five. He had a. He had a year, like 5 years of us being away during a pandemic. If that guy, where there are no cons, no nothing, and that guy could get that anything done in that time,
it's insane.
Then there is no hope, as the Pope says.
No hope. Fucking Brandon Sanderson, when he didn't have to go to cons, wrote 5 extra books. And you know why he wrote them, Manny? He says, I had nothing else to do, so I just kept writing. That's a real fucking writer.
Yeah, what was what's his face doing? He was having his sandwich.
That's sandwich, yeah. Again, Brandon Sanderson didn't go, oh, let me get a leg up on the books I'm contracted to. It's just like, I'm gonna write extra books just cause. That's how you do it. That's an actual professional, you know? Anyway, for anybody else that cares, what would you like to see in a Game of Thrones video game?
It's a weird one because, at least for me, it's like, you know, I've only really seen, like, the first seasons of Game of Thrones, which are very good, but I don't know. Game of Thrones is, like, really, like, too melodramatic.
It's not a breezy thing. It's heavy.
It's like all this stuff between the families and all this stuff. But to be honest, that's a boring game to me. You know, like, the blah 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 is going to take over the blah blah. Oh my god! I mean, I'm sorry, I don't really want to play War of the Rose.
Yeah, see, that's why I would like to play like some regular soldier. Like, oh, this stuff's going on. Okay, whatever. I got to fight this army now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to go. That's what's cool about the world. And again, it would be nice if George finished it. It's that you don't have to do that. Like, for example, one of the, and this is a smaller series called Dunkin' Egg, which ironically enough, they're going to turn it to a TV series. It wasn't about that. It was just a regular knight, you know, trying to just make his way in that world, you know, like. All that stuff was happening in the background, but he didn't deal with it. I think a game like that would be good instead of you having to go through all the politics shit, you know. And again, you know, what's the whole Dunkin' Egg? The fact that it was set like 100 years beforehand, you know, like, you know the names, but they're not the same people, you know.
But also, it's like you know the names, you know the people, don't know the people. But it's like, you know, I don't know. It just seems like it's, I don't know.
It's not for you, man. It's just not for you. That's fine. You know, anybody else here? I don't know. I don't know which of you guys is fans of the series here.
Not a fan, but I think it lends itself to an RTS.
RTS could absolutely work. Yeah.
Yeah. You just command armies and you have factions and stuff. I think it would be great in that respect. I can't think of another genre that would fit it well. Like, what do you make, like a fighting game or something, yeah. or an arena game? But I think an RTS that would definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. RTS and RP and, you know, giant open world RPG definitely could work.
Yeah,
yeah. I know they had some mobile game that was RTS like, but I'm like, do that for real instead of just some shitty mobile game. You know, go ahead, Rich.
Oh yeah, I just was gonna say. Let me start by saying that question reinforces just how horrible a job WB has been doing with the Game of Thrones license, because like you said, Tony, they released a game this year called, I think it's Game of Thrones King's Road. It was an MMORPG, but it was on mobile.
Here you go.
And nobody was talking about that game because I saw a whole bunch of videos online of them promoting the game. I didn't see no reviews, nothing. So I know that WB, I believe Game of Thrones is one of the franchises that they was talking about, the pillars, the ones they want to focus on. But like you said, they need money and resources. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think what Chris said, real-time strategy works. I also think a turn-based can work because I really did like Final Fantasy Tactics. I think I think that would be a great idea, but I don't know how they would approach that. So,
No, you're right. But it's funny you mentioned that because you're right. It's like, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics is basically fucking Game of Thrones, you know? but again, what are they both based off of? War of the Roses. So it makes sense. But yeah, man, they could do a lot of good stuff with this franchise. It's just whether but I think you made a good point there, Rich. It's like, they released this game and nobody know. We're a fucking video game podcast and only one of us knew about this shit, you know? But for some of us, me, you say mobile, that's it. In one ear, out the other. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want it in my brain, you know?
I would like to
He's going to forget about it now.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Correct, Tony.
Oh.
It wasn't just one of us. It was technically 1.2 of us.
Okay.
Because I had remembered that this game existed. I just didn't know when it came out.
I like how you were saying 1.2, not 1.5, not 1.7, 1.2.
It's a tiny amount that knew that game existed. I just didn't know when it existed. So yeah, so I checked just now. And I'm like, oh yeah, it came out this year. I'm like, fuck, when did it come out this year? It's like, I don't remember this game being talked about. Like, not even Rich mentioned it. So I'm like, Jesus, this game must have bombed really badly.
Or it's just mobile. No one gives a fuck.
It's also on Steam. So
wow.
Even then, it's just like, but then no one that I know talked about this game. I didn't see it on Twitter or anything. It was just silence.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And here's the question. Isn't this game free to play?
Yes, it is.
Free to play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Game based on Game of Thrones and nobody cares.
To be honest, yeah. it's also like a misunderstanding of their audience.
Yeah, Brian, like, let's have some fun. What are the numbers, man? What are the numbers on Steam? Let's look this up. But Manny, go ahead. Yeah.
No.
Misunderstanding. No, you're right. You're right. I just wanted you to expand on that, but you are correct about that. But then again, what the hell? I don't know. Putting it on mobile, like, who cares? You know, I remember I did go to some event. This was years ago, where it was to check out some Game of Thrones mobile game, and it was, you know, an RTS type of game. And I'm like, okay, who cares? You know? But yeah, Brian, let me know when those numbers are in.
I have the numbers.
Let's go.
So this is, well, currently it has 403 players, which is all right, I guess. 24-hour peak of 1,200.
Wow.
Just not bad. All-time peak of 10,730. So they are numbers.
Yeah.
I am certain that's more than Dragon Age.
That.
If that's the case, that's hilarious. Let me just check.
Yeah, see, what is Dragon Age doing right now? Oh, man. What is AI, man? Looking at Twitter, seeing these fucking videos, it's so obvious. Anyway, Game of Thrones, that's not coming out. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, it pretty much has the exact same numbers as Veilguard in terms of current count. Well, close enough. Currently 640 playing and peak of 1,250.
I don't know if that's good for the mobile game or bad for the AAA game. I'm going to say both. Both. Let's go with both, you know? By the way, I forgot what convention it was. There was some science fiction convention that happened probably 2 weeks ago, and they had a panel of, like, the, you know, the big fantasy writers right now. Guess who was on it? George R. R. Martin and Brandon Sanderson. One guy that writes books consistently, another guy that doesn't. It's very insane, you know.
Too bad somebody didn't ask him a question if George R. R. Martin would grant Brandon Sanderson a the license to Game of Thrones so that he could finish off the series.
Because
then you still get it done.
Yeah. Well, apparently, it's funny you mentioned that. Apparently, somebody, they didn't ask that directly, but they did ask if he would let somebody else finish it. George was very upset by that question. He didn't like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finish the fucking book, and then you won't get your fee's hurt.
Yeah. But also,
many years has it been?
It's been like 14 years since the last one.
14 years.
Yeah. But you know, I do know this, Brandon Sanderson wouldn't do it. Cause he's made it very clear. He said he read Game of Thrones. He thought it was great, but it was too much for him. It was too much. If you read any Brandon Sanderson's books, they're basically PG, PG-13. He's not a hardcore guy, and he's a Mormon too. So he's like, yeah, that a lot of violence and cursing and stuff. He's like, no. Like, he almost stopped when the kid got thrown out the window, you know, but he kept going. But then at the end, you know, after, you know, we could say it right after Ned Stark died, he's like, okay, this is definitely not the series for me. He's not a grimdark guy. You know, he's a positive guy. You read his books, you feel good. You know, it's not like, you know, George Martin, like, fuck, you know, you hate all humanity after that shit. Brandon Sanderson, he's the hopeful guy. You know, he'd probably have hopeful. And he's a gamer, too. His favorite series is actually anything from Software. So I don't know if that's a series, but there you go. So, Manny, think about it. This motherfucker writes 50,000 books, and he's playing shit like Elden Ring.
There you go.
Come on, man. You know?
It's, yeah, what's George R.R. Martin doing? Computer just catch on fire or something? Is the 40-year-old computer that the only computer he can write?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. When he's on the road, he can't write because he needs to be on his specific computer. Meanwhile, Brandon Sanderson is like, if I got a phone, I could write. That's what he said. Like, if I got a phone, I could write, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Difference, man. Different approach. But, you know, one is a professional, one isn't. You know, how can you say he's not a professional? If you're not right, you're not working, you're not a professional, you know?
I mean, I also think in general for him, he doesn't have the fire.
He doesn't. Yes, do it. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, in other words, there's no, you don't, you know, they're not going to fucking take his house away.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's no emergency behind it. So he can just, he feels safe. Now, if he was a starving fucking writer, yeah, I'm sure as shit he'd get his act together and get some fucking books out. How long did it take him to make those first few books?
No, they came out every fucking year.
Yeah, so now all of a sudden it's hard.
You know, he did start slowing down after the fourth book, and then they just kept taking longer and longer. Then, you know, once Game of Thrones says, forget about it, he was done. Anyway, we are done. Another good show. Let's start wrapping up with some plugs. Manny, we'll start with you first. What you got?
So, well, right now, it's a month, but I also advertise them.
Manny, it's the beginning of the month, baby.
Oh, well, end of the last month. So anyway, I'll still give it one more until we get to the middle. So, okay. First, we have TMNT Journeys number 2, which is, came out during New York Comic Con, the week of New York Comic Con. That's got a cover by Kari Randolph and myself. So that's out on the shelves right now. It's got a special TMNT 2003 Casey Jones cover. Those are reprints of books that were done years ago called TMNT. So they just put some fun, fresh covers on them. The other one that's out is Street Sharks number 1. Another cover by Kari Randolph and myself. Unfortunately, that one is a little bit difficult to get. It's I don't know why some studios do this, but they'll put like less covers of some of them in the box, making it sort of like difficult for people to get a hold of. So apologies if you're interested. Quite hard to find. The last one is Blood and Thunder. Issue 7 is either out or coming out pretty soon. So that's a new series by, it's got a cover by Karen Randolph and myself again. That's a new series by Robert Kirkman and AJ, who used to draw the Tech Jacket. So, yeah, so that's out there. Blood and Thunder.
Good stuff. All right. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
First and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Definitely continue to check out his shows. I have been watching Mayor of Kingstown. That show is a very brutal show, but it's a very good show. So definitely check out what he had to say about that. As for the Coalition, I'm still working on a couple of different reviews. I am still working on the Mortal Kombat review. I'm also working on a couple of other things. So stay tuned for that. And lastly, myself, Gary, and Dana will be reviewing Power, because that show returns this upcoming Friday. So just as I have to say, as a disclaimer, I always have to say, I'm not talking about Powers, that PlayStation, whatever the hell that show was. This is a crime drama, you know, with all types of ridiculous stuff. So if you care about that type of stuff, or you want to be entertained, definitely check out that show. We will be posting that on Friday. But outside of that, stay tuned for the gaming stuff. A lot of cool stuff coming up.
All right, good stuff. All right, man, we're done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the like button if you enjoyed this episode. Join the Discord, where it's always on and popping. Shout out to the Discord gang, and shout out to all the new members as well. And for links to everything, check down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
There you are. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody. This is fantastic. Gotcha, bitches. I've been here the whole time. Yeah. Oh, I listened to everything.
There you go. And Brian Majoma.
Oh, that's great timing.
All right, that's it. Later, people. We'll see you on Thursday.
What? Throwdown after hours.
Click that's it. I asked anything you want to say to the fans, Adam. Anything on your mind about gaming?
It's a tough time for me. It's hard being a gamer now. Just go to Fortnite. That seems to be the safe space.
Is there anything that gives you... This is actually one of the questions. I want to get your thoughts. What is there anything that gives you hope for the future of gaming?
No, because
that's what I said too, sucker.
Like they don't care about any of this type of shit. The stuff that we talk about, our narrative story, we want single player. Kids don't give a shit. It's Roblox, it's Fortnite, it's Minecraft, it's every damn phone game that does dumb shit. You know, that's all they care about. And if they keep growing, this is all they're ever gonna.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff we're talking about, we're already gonna fall off Mario and say they don't care about. Yeah, it's not ingrained in them like it is with us because we grew up when video game console was like, hey, here's a new, what's this? It's a Nintendo. What's that? Can play this Mario guy. He jumps. Oh, shit. It's now in our system. We know it. These kids don't do that. That's not for them. Now it's Fortnite, Roblox, other stuff. That's ingrained in. That's their childhood that they're going to remember fondly of and continue on. All the stuff that we're talking about, maybe Call of Duty because, you know, who doesn't like shooting bitches in the face? That'll always be there. But,
hey, you know, Fortnite's is like baby's first Call of Duty. So,
yeah, they're going to keep running. Oh, did you see they just launched me? My son was playing it today. The whole world is now The Simpsons. The whole world is The Simpsons.
What do you mean?
The cartoon, the music. They changed the whole world.
Well, Fortnite?
Springfield. Yeah, Fortnite, now Springfield. They have the donut. They have Moe's. They have the comic shop. Wow. They have everything. All the characters are there. You're running around. You can pick your character, and it looks like you're in the cartoon. They got the music and everything. It's wild.
So that's crazy.
That's there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, there you go. I didn't say that specifically, but I did say I have no hope. It's done. You know, like there's nothing happening now that gives me personal hope. You know, it is what it is.
This is our generation. This is what I mean. We all went through this with older people when they said, "In my day, we like this," and you know, and we're like, "Yeah, that was your time." And then what happened? That's phased out. You know, go ballroom dancing and everyone dressing up with a nice hat. I remember men had to wear a hat. That was the thing.
Yep.
Oh God. And this is the same shit. Oh, everybody has a console. No. We got phones. We got tablets. It's gonna happen. We're gonna get phased out.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace.